The angry god stopped in front of me. Water dripped from his red beard onto his extremely large chainmail-clad chest. His pot-roast-sized fists were clenched in their iron gauntlets.
"That,"
he cracked a grin,
"was amazing!"
He clapped me on the shoulder so hard he dislocated several joints.
"Join me for dinner! We can kill Otis and Marvin!"
Chapter 50. No spoilers. Thor is way behind on his shows.
"Yep, we killed the goats."
Thor promised they would be resurrected good as new the next morning, so long as we didn't break any bones. Otis assured me frequent death was good for his exposure therapy. Marvin growled at me to get on with it and not be a weak-kneed wimp. It was a lot easier killing Marvin. After 2 years of homelessness, I thought I knew how tough it could be to keep myself fed, but let me tell you, killing and butchering an animal for my own supper was a new experience. You think it's gross to pull a half-eaten sandwich out of a trash bin? Try skinning a goat, cutting it into chunks, building a fire, then cooking the meat on a spit while attempting to ignore the goat head staring at you from the scrap pile. You might assume that kind of experience would turn me into a vegetarian. But nope. As soon as I smelled the cooking meat, my hunger took over. I forgot all about the horrors of goat slaughter. Those Otis kebabs were the best things I ever tasted. As we ate, Thor chatted about giants, Jotunheim, and his opinions of Midgard television shows, which, for some reason, he followed religiously. Can I say a god did something religiously?
"Giants!"
He shook his head in disgust.
"After all these centuries, you'd think they would learn to stop invading Midgard. But no, they're like the... what is it? The League of Assassins in Arrow. They just keep coming back. As if I would let anything happen to humans. You guys are my favorite species."
He patted my cheek. Fortunately, he had taken off his iron gloves, or he would have broken my jaw. Unfortunately, he hadn't washed his hands after gutting the goats. Hearthstone sat at the fire, nibbling on a piece of Marvin haunch. He was getting some of his strength back, though every time I looked at him, I had to force myself not to sob. I wanted to hug the poor guy, bake him a batch of cookies, and tell him how sorry I was about his crappy childhood, but I knew he wouldn't want pity. He wouldn't want me to start treating him differently. Still, the empty cup runestone weighed heavily in my coat pocket. Sam stayed at the edge of the fire, as far from Thor as she could get. She said as little as possible and made no sudden movements, which meant that most of Thor's attention was on me. Everything the Thunder God did, he did with gusto. He loved cooking his goats. He loved eating and drinking mead. He loved telling stories. And he loved farting. Boy, did he love farting. When he got excited, sparks of electricity flew from his hands, his ears, and... well, I'll leave the rest to your imagination. Unlike his movie version, there was nothing polished about Thor. His face was handsome in a beat-up way, like he'd spent years in the boxing ring. His chainmail was filthy. His leather jerkin and trousers had worn to the color of dirty snow. Tattoos covered his muscular arms. On his left biceps, Sif was inscribed inside a heart. Around his right forearm coiled a stylized world serpent. Across his knuckles, on either hand, in block letters, were the names Magni and Modi. At first I was nervous about the name Magni, because it was so close to Magnus. The last thing I wanted was my name printed across the Thunder God's fist. But Sam assured me, quietly, that it was a totally different name. Thor regaled me with his theories about a hypothetical death match between Daryl from The Walking Dead and Mike from Breaking Bad. Back when I was hanging out on the sidewalks of Boston, I would have been happy to talk TV for hours just to pass the time, but now I had a quest looming. We'd lost a whole day to unconsciousness. Speculating on the new fall lineup wasn't going to mean much if the world was consumed in flames 3 days from now. Still, Thor was having so much fun, it was hard to change the subject.
"So what do you think?"
he asked.
"Best villain in an ongoing series?"
Wow, tough one. I pointed at his knuckles. "Who are Magni and Modi?"
"My sons,"
Thor beamed. With the goat grease in his beard and the random electrical sparks flying from his fingers, I was worried he might set himself on fire.
"I've got a lot of sons, of course, but they're my favorites."
"Yeah?" I asked. "How old are they?" He frowned.
This is embarrassing, but I'm not sure. They might not even be born yet."
"How?" "Magnus," Sam interrupted. "Lord Thor's two sons, Magni and Modi, are fated to survive Ragnarok. Their names are spoken in the prophecies of the Norns."
"That's right."
Thor leaned toward Sam.
"Who are you again?"
Sam, my lord."
"You have a familiar aura, girl."
The god furrowed his red eyebrows.
"Why is that?"
"I was a Valkyrie?" Sam inched backward.
"Oh, maybe that's it."
Thor shrugged.
"You'll have to excuse me. I've been on 3,506 consecutive deployments to the Eastern Front, keeping the giants at bay. I get a little jumpy sometimes."
Hearthstone signed, "And gassy." Thor belched.
"What did the elf say? I do not speak gesticulation."
He was wondering how you keep current on television," I said, "seeing as you're out in the field so much." Thor laughed.
"I have to do something to keep myself sane."
Hearthstone signed, "How's that working out for you?"
"The elf agrees,"
Thor guessed.
"I can watch my shows anywhere, or at least I could. Among its many other powers, my hammer Mjolnir got full bars of service and HD resolution in any of the 9 worlds.
"Got? Past tense?" Sam asked. Thor cleared his throat loudly.
"But enough about television. How's that goat meat? You didn't break any bones, did you?"
Sam and I exchanged looks. When we'd first introduced ourselves to the god, I'd found it strange that Thor didn't have his hammer. It was sort of his signature weapon. I'd figured maybe it was just in disguise, like my sword. Now, I was starting to wonder. His piercing, bloodshot gaze made me think it might be dangerous to ask, though.
No, sir, I said. We didn't break any bones. Just, theoretically, what would happen if we did?"
"The goats would be resurrected with that damage," he said, "which would take a long time to heal and be very annoying. Then I'd either have to kill you or make you my slave forever."
Hearthstone signed, "This god is a freak."
"You're right, Mr. Elf," Thor said. "It is a fair and just punishment. That's how I got my regular manservant, Thialfi."
Thor shook his head.
"Poor kid. These deployments were starting to get to him. I had to grant him a furlough. I really could use another slave."
He studied me appraisingly. "So," I set aside my goat meat, "how did you end up in the river, and why was that giantess trying to drown you?"
"Oh, her."
Thor glowered at the neighborhood-sized corpse in the middle of the icy swamp.
"She's a daughter of Garrod, one of my old enemies. I hate that guy. He's always sending his daughters to kill me.
He gestured toward the cliffs.
I was heading to his fortress to see if... Well, no matter. Thank you for the assist. That was Frey's sword, wasn't it?
Yes. Jack's around here somewhere. I whistled. Jack came hovering over.
Hello, Thor, said the sword. Long time no see. Ha!
The god clapped his hands in delight.
I thought I recognized you. But isn't your name Sumerbrander? Why did the human call you Jorvik? Jack,
the sword corrected.
Yak. No,
the sword said patiently.
Jack, with the English J sound. Okay, fine. Well, nice job with the giantess. You know what they say.
Jack sounded smug.
The bigger they are, the easier it is to fly up their nasal cavity. True, Thor said. But I thought you were lost. How did you come to be with these strange folk?
He calls us strange, Hearthstone signed. Lord Thor, Sam said, we actually came here looking for you. We need your help, as Magnus will now explain. She stared at me like, if he knows what's good for him. I told Thor about the Norn's prophecy. 9 days hence, sun going east, Surt explodes everything, Fenris wolf, nasty teeth, eats world, etc. Thor became agitated. Sparks flew from his elbows. He rose and paced around the fire, occasionally punching nearby trees.
You want me to tell you where the island is, he deduced.
That would be great, I said.
But I can't, Thor muttered to himself. I can't be sending random mortals on wolf-watching tours. Too dangerous. But Ragnarok, not ready. No. Not unless...
He froze, then turned toward us with an eager gleam in his eyes.
Perhaps that's why you're here.
I do not like this, Hearthstone signed. Thor nodded.
The elf agrees. You have come to assist me. Exactly,
said Jack, humming with excitement.
Let's do it. Whatever it is.
I had a sudden desire to hide behind the goat carcasses. Anything the God of Thunder and the Sword of Summer agreed on, I didn't want to be part of. Sam placed her axe at her side, as if she anticipated needing it soon. Let me guess, Lord Thor, you've lost your hammer again.
Now, I did not say that.
Thor wagged a finger at her.
You did not hear that from me, because if that were true, hypothetically speaking, and if word got out, the giants would invade Midgard immediately. You mortals don't realize how often I keep you safe. My reputation alone makes most giants too afraid to attack your world.
Back up, I said. What did Sam mean by, again? You've lost your hammer before?
Once,
Thor said.
Okay, twice. 3 times if you count this time, which you shouldn't, because I am not admitting that the hammer is missing.
Right, I said. So how did you lose it?
I don't know.
Thor started to pace again, his long red hair sparking and popping.
It was just like, poof! I tried retracing my steps. I tried the Find My Hammer app, but it doesn't work.
Isn't your hammer the most powerful weapon in the universe? I asked.
Yes!
And I thought it was so heavy, nobody except you could pick it up.
True, Even I need my iron gloves of strength to lift it. But giants are tricky. They're big and strong, and they have magic. With them, many impossible things are possible.
I thought about the Eagle Big Boy, and how easily he'd succored me. Yeah, I get it. Is that why you were going to Arod's?
Garod's,
Thor corrected.
And yes, he's a likely suspect. Even if he doesn't have it, he might know who does. Besides, without my hammer, I can't watch my shows. I'm a season behind on Sherlock, and it's killing me. I was ready to go to Garod's fortress myself, but I'm very glad you volunteered to go for me.
We did? Hearthstone asked.
That's the spirit, Mr. Elf. I'm glad you're ready to die for my cause.
Really not, Hearth signed.
Just go to Garod's fortress and check for my hammer. Of course, it's important you don't let on that it is missing. If Garod doesn't have it, we don't want him to know that I don't have it. But, you know, if he doesn't have it, obviously ask him if he knows who does, without actually admitting that it's missing.
Samira pressed her fingers to her temples. I'm getting a headache. Lord Thor, how are we supposed to find your hammer if we can't mention...
You'll figure it out, he said. You humans are a clever bunch. Then, once you've determined the truth, I will know you are worthy of facing Fenris Wolf. I'll give you the location of his island, and you can stop Ragnarok. You help me, I help you.
It sounded more like, you help me, then you help me some more. But I doubted there was a polite way to decline without getting an iron gauntlet in my teeth. Sam must have been thinking the same thing. Her face turned roughly the same shade of green as her hijab. Lord Thor, she said, invading a giant's fortress with only 3 people would be... Suicidal, Hearthstone suggested. Stupid. Difficult, Sam said. Just then, a nearby pine tree shuddered. Blitzen dropped from the branches and landed waist deep in a pile of slush. Hearthstone scrambled over and helped him to his feet.
Thanks, buddy, Blitz said. Stupid tree travel? Where? Is this a friend of yours?
Thor raised one ironclad fist.
Or should I?
No, I mean, yes, he's a friend. Blitzen, Thor. Thor, Blitzen.
The Thor?
Blitzen bowed so low it looked like he was trying to avoid an airstrike.
Honored. Seriously. Hi. Wow. Well, then,
the Thunder God grinned.
You have 4 people to storm the giant citadel. Friend dwarf, help yourself to my goat meat and my fire. As for me, after being stuck in that river so long, I'm going to turn in early. In the morning, you all can set off to find my hammer, which of course is not officially missing.
Thor tromped over to his bed of furs, threw himself down, and began snoring with as much gusto as he'd been farting. Blitzen frowned at me.
What have you gotten us into?
Long story, I said. Here, have some Marvin. Chapter 51. We have the talk about turning into horseflies chat. Hearthstone went to sleep first, mostly because he was the only one who could sleep with Thor snoring. Since the god had crashed outside, Hearthstone commandeered the 2-man tent. He crawled inside and promptly collapsed. The rest of us stayed up and talked around the campfire. At first, I was worried we might wake Thor, but I soon realized we could have tap-danced around his head, banged gongs, shouted his name, and set off large explosions, and he would have slept right through it. I wondered if that was how he had lost his hammer. The giants could have waited until he was asleep, backed up a couple of industrial cranes, and done the job easy. As night fell, I was grateful for the fire. The darkness was more complete than in the wildest places my mom and I had ever camped. Wolves howled in the forest, which gave me a bad case of the shivers. Wind moaned through the canyons like a chorus of zombies. I mentioned this to Blitzen, but he set me straight.
"No, kid," he said. "Norse zombies are called Draugr. They move silently. You'd never hear them coming."
"Thanks," I said. "That's a huge relief." Blitzen stirred his cup of goat stew, though he didn't seem interested in tasting it. He'd changed into a blue wool suit with a cream-colored trench coat, perhaps so he could blend in with the Jotunheim snow in the most stylish way possible. He'd also brought each of us a new supply pack filled with fresh winter clothes, which of course he'd size perfectly just by guessing. Sometimes it pays to have a friend who's a thoughtful clothes horse. Blitz explained how he'd delivered the earrings to his mother, then gotten detained in Folkvanger for various duties as Freya's representative, judging an oyster bake, refereeing a volleyball game, serving as guest of honor at the 678th annual ukulele festival.
"It was murder," he said. "Mom liked the earrings. Didn't ask how I got them. Didn't want to hear about the contest with Junior. She just said, 'Oh, don't you wish you could do work like this, Blitzen?'"
From his coat pocket, he pulled the rope and Scutty. The ball of silk glowed silver like a miniature moon.
"I hope this was worth it."
"Hey," I told him, "what you did in that contest? I've never seen anybody work that hard. You poured your heart and soul into that expando duck. And the bulletproof tie? The chainmail vest? Just wait. We'll get you an endorsement deal with Thor, and you'll start a fashion trend." "Magnus is right," Sam said. "Well, maybe not about the endorsement deal with Thor, but you have real talent, Blitzen. If Freya and the other dwarves don't see it, that's their problem. Without you, we never would have gotten this far."
"You mean you wouldn't have gotten kicked out of the Valkyries? Magnus wouldn't have died. We wouldn't have half the gods mad at us. Fire giants and Inherjar wouldn't be out to kill us. And we wouldn't be sitting in the wilderness of Jotunheim with a snoring god?"
"Exactly," Sam said. "Life is good." Blitzen snorted. But I was happy to see a little spark of humor in his eyes.
"Yeah, okay. I'm going to sleep. I'll need it if we're going to storm a giant's castle in the morning."
He crawled into the tent and muttered to Hearthstone,
"Make some room, you tent hog."
Then he draped his overcoat across the elf, which I thought was kind of sweet. Sam sat cross-legged in her jeans and new snow jacket, her hood pulled over her headscarf. Snow had started to fall, big fluffy flakes that dissolved and hissed in the flames. "Speaking of the contest in Dwarfland," I said, "we never got to talk about the horsefly." "Hush." Sam glanced apprehensively at Thor. "Certain people aren't keen on my father, or my father's children."
"Certain people are snoring like a chainsaw."
"Still." She studied her hand as if making sure it hadn't changed. "I promised myself I wouldn't shapeshift, and in the last week, I've done it twice. The first time, well, the stag was after us on the World Tree. I turned into a deer to distract it so Hearthstone could get away. I didn't think I had a choice." I nodded. "And the second time, you turned into the horsefly to help Blitzen. Those are both great reasons. Besides, shape-shifting is an awesome power. Why wouldn't you want to use it?
The firelight made her irises almost as red as Surt's.
Magnus, true shapeshifting isn't like my hijab's camouflage. Shapeshifting doesn't just change your appearance. It changes you. Every time I do it, I feel more of my father's nature trying to take hold of me. He's fluid, unpredictable, untrustworthy. I don't want to be like that.
I gestured at Thor.
You could have him for a dad. A farting giant with goat grease in his beard and tattoos on his knuckles. Then everybody in Valhalla would love you.
I could tell she was trying not to smile.
You are very bad. Thor is an important god.
No doubt. So is Frey, supposedly, but I've never met him. At least your dad is kind of charming, and he has a sense of humor. He may be a sociopath, but...
Wait. Sam's voice tightened. You talk as if you've met him.
I kind of walked right into that, didn't I?
Truth is, he's been in a few of my near-death experiences.
I told Sam about the dreams. Loki's warnings, his promises, his suggestion that I take the sword to my Uncle Randolph and forget about the quest.
Sam listened. I couldn't tell if she was angry or shocked or both.
So, she said, you didn't tell me this earlier because you didn't trust me?
Maybe at first. Later I
wasn't sure what to do.
Your dad is kind of unsettling.
She tossed a twig into the flames and watched it burn.
You can't do what my dad suggests, no matter what he promises. We have to face Surt. We'll need the sword.
I remembered my dream of the burning throne. The dark face floating in the smoke, the voice with the heat of a flamethrower.
You and your friends will be my tinder. You will start the fire that burns the nine worlds.
I looked around for Jack, but I didn't see him. The sword had volunteered to hover the perimeter on patrol, as he put it. He suggested I wait until the last possible minute to reclaim him, since once I did, I would pass out instantly from the strain of murdering a giantess by nostril side. Snow continued to fall, steaming against the stones around the fire pit. I thought about our near lunch in the food court of the transportation building, how nervous Sam had acted around Amir. That seemed like 1,000 years ago.
When we were on Harald's boat, I recalled, you said your family had a long history with all the Norse god stuff. How? You said your grandparents came from Iraq?
She threw another stick into the flames.
Vikings were traders, Magnus. They traveled everywhere. They got all the way to America. It shouldn't be a surprise they got to the Middle East, too. Arabic coins have been found in Norway. The best Viking swords were modeled after Damascus steel.
But your family, you've got a more personal connection?
She nodded. Back in medieval times, some of the Vikings settled in Russia. They called themselves the Rus. That's where the word Russian comes from. Anyway, the Caliph, the big king down in Baghdad, he sent an ambassador north to find out more about the Vikings, set up trade routes with them, that kind of stuff. The ambassador's name was Ahmed ibn Fadlan ibn al-Abbas.
Fadlan, like Fadlan's falafel. Al-Abbas, like...
Right, like me. Al-Abbas means of the lion. That's my branch of the clan. Anyway,
she pulled a sleeping bag out of her backpack.
This guy Ibn Fadlan kept a journal about his time with the Vikings. It's one of the only written sources about what the Norse were like back then. Ever since, my family and the Vikings have been intertwined. Over the centuries, my relatives have racked up a lot of weird encounters with supernatural beings. Maybe that's why my mother wasn't too surprised when she found out who my dad really was.
She spread out her sleeping bag next to the fire.
And that's why Samira Al-Abbas is fated never to have a normal life. The end.
Normal life, I mused. I don't even know what that means anymore.
She looked like she wanted to say something, then changed her mind. I'm going to sleep.
I had a weird vision of our ancestors, medieval Chase and medieval Al-Abbas, sitting around a campfire in Russia 1,200 years ago, comparing notes on how the Norse gods had messed up their lives, maybe with Thor snoring on a bed of furs nearby. Sam's family might be intertwined with the gods, but as my Valkyrie, she was also intertwined with my family now.
We'll figure things out, I promised. I don't know about normal, but I'll do everything I can to help you get what you want. A place in the Valkyries again, your marriage with Amir, a pilot's license, whatever it takes.
She stared at me as if processing the words from another language.
What?
I asked. Do I have goat blood on my face?
No. Well, yes, you do have goat blood on your face. But that's not... I was just trying to remember the last time anybody said something that nice to me.
If you want, I'll go back to insulting you tomorrow, I said.
For now, get some sleep. Sweet dreams.
Sam curled up by the fire. Snow settled lightly on the sleeve of her coat.
Thank you, Magnus.
But no dreams, please. I don't want a dream in Jotunheim.
Chapter 52. I got the horse right here. His name is Stanley. Thor was still snoring like a defective wood chipper when we were ready to leave the next morning. That's really saying something, since I had slept forever. Jack the Sword had not been kidding about the effect of killing the giantess. As soon as I'd reclaimed the sword after Sam fell asleep, I had passed out instantly. At least I hadn't lost a full 24 hours this time. With Fenris Wolf appearing in only 2 more days, I couldn't afford any more long naps. I wondered if maybe, just maybe, I was growing more resilient as I became bonded to the sword. I hoped so, but I still felt like I'd been flattened under a rolling pin all night. We packed up our gear and ate a cold breakfast of, "Morning, maggot," energy bars from Blitz's supply bags. Yum. Then Hearthstone nestled the severed heads of the 2 still-dead goats in Thor's arms like teddy bears. Never let it be said that elves don't have a sense of humor. I looked down at the drool turning to ice in Thor's beard. And to think that the defense of 9 worlds rests on this god.
Let's get going, Blitzen muttered. I don't want to be around when he wakes up with Otis and Marvin.
The dead giantess proved helpful. We climbed over her to cross the icy swamp. Then we discovered that we could scale her left foot to reach the first ledge in the side of the cliff. Once we got that far, I stared up at the remaining 500 meters of sheer, icy rock.
Awesome. Now the real fun begins.
Wish I could still fly, Sam murmured. I imagine she could fly, with a little shape-shifting, but after our conversation last night, I decided against mentioning that.
Blitz handed his pack to Hearthstone, then wriggled his stubby fingers.
Don't worry, kids. You're climbing with a dwarf today.
I frowned. You're a mountaineer now, as well as a master of fashion?
I told you, kid. Dwarves were formed from maggots that burrowed through Ymir's flesh.
And you seem strangely proud of it.
Rock to us is like, well, not rock.
He punched the side of the cliff. Rather than breaking his fist, he left an indentation just the right size for a handhold.
I'm not saying it'll be fast or easy. It takes me a lot of effort to shape rock. But we can do it.
I glanced at Sam. Did you know dwarves could punch through stone?
Nope. That's new to me. Hearthstone signed, "Use the magic rope? Rather not fall to death."
I shuddered. I couldn't think about the rope and Skati without thinking about the wolf, and I didn't like thinking about the wolf.
"We need that rope to bind Fenris, right? I don't want to do anything that might weaken it."
"Don't worry, kid."
Blitz brought out the silken cord.
"This rope can't be weakened. And Hearthstone's right. We might as well tie it to one another for safety."
"That way if we fall," Sam said, "we'll fall together."
"Sold," I said, trying to tamp down my anxiety. "I love dying with friends." We got hitched, so to speak, and followed our intrepid, rock-shaping, fashion-conscious guide up the side of Mount You Gotta Be Kidding Me. I'd heard homeless military vets describe war as 95% boredom and 5% terror. Climbing the cliff was more like 5% terror and 95% excruciating pain. My arms shook, my legs wobbled. Every time I looked down, I wanted to cry or throw up. Despite the handholds and footholds Blitzen made, the wind almost knocked me off several times. There was nothing I could do except keep going. I knew for certain that my Valhalla-enhanced strength was the only thing keeping me alive. Magnus 1.0 would have fallen to his death. I didn't understand how Hearthstone could manage, bringing up the end of the rope. But he did. And Sam, demigod or not, she didn't have the advantage of being an Inherii. Yet she didn't complain, didn't waver, didn't slip, which was good, since she was climbing right above me. Finally, as the sky began to darken, we reached the top. Down in the canyon we'd come from, the body of the giantess was so small it looked like a normal-sized body. The river glittered in the gloom. If Thor's camp was still there, I saw no sign of it. In the other direction, Jotunheim spread out like an electron microscope landscape. Impossibly jagged peaks, crystalline cliffs, ravines filled with ovoid clouds like floating bacteria. The good news, I could see the giant's fortress. Across a mile-wide chasm, windows glowed red in the side of a mountain. Towers rose from the summit as if they'd been shaped from the rock dwarven style rather than built. The bad news, did I mention the mile-wide chasm? The cliff top where we were standing was no more than a narrow plateau. The drop on the other side was just as precipitous as the one we'd climbed. Considering it had taken us all day to get this far, I figured we'd reach the castle in another 6 months, easy. Unfortunately, it was Monday evening, and the Wolf's Island was supposed to rise on Wednesday.
"Let's camp here tonight," Blitzen said. "Maybe in the morning we'll see a better way across."
Despite our time crunch, nobody argued. We were all so tired we collapsed. As is so often the case, in the fresh light of morning, our situation looked much worse. There were no stairs, no convenient zip lines, no direct commuter flights to Geirrod's fortress. I was about to risk an axe in the face by suggesting that Sam shapeshift, maybe change into a giant sugar glider and carry us across, when Hearthstone signed, "Have an idea." He pulled out a runestone. "M," I said. He shook his head, then spelled out the name. E-H-W-A-Z. "Right," I said, because calling it M would be too easy. Sam plucked the stone from Hearth's palm.
"I know this one. It symbolizes a horse, right? The shape is like a saddle."
I squinted at the rune. The wind was so cold and harsh that I had a hard time thinking imaginatively, but the symbol still looked like an M to me. "How does this help us?"
Hearthstone signed, "Means horse, transportation, maybe a way to go." He pointed to the castle.
Blitzen tugged his beard.
Sounds like powerful magic. Have you tried it before?
Hearthstone shook his head. Don't worry. I can do it.
I know you can, said Blitz. But you've already taxed yourself to the limit several times.
Be fine, Hearth insisted.
I don't see that we have much choice, I said, since we don't have anyone who can grow wings.
I will push you off this mountain, Sam warned.
All right,
Blitzen decided.
Let's try it. I mean the rune, not pushing Magnus off the mountain. Maybe Hearth can summon a helicopter.
Geralt would hear a helicopter, I said, and probably throw rocks at us, and kill us.
Well then,
Blitzen said,
perhaps a stealth helicopter. Hearthstone, do your stuff.
Sam returned the stone. Hearth passed his hand over it, moving his lips as if imagining how the syllables might sound. The runestone burst into dust. Hearthstone stared at the white powder trickling through his fingers. I'm guessing it wasn't supposed to do that? I asked.
Guys.
Sam's voice was so small, it was almost lost in the wind. She pointed up, where a gray shape was hurtling out of the clouds. It moved so fast and blended with the sky so well, I didn't realize what the creature was until it was almost on top of us. A stallion, twice the size of a normal horse, his coat rippling like liquid steel, his white mane billowing, his eyes glittering black. The stallion had no wings, but he galloped through the air as easily as if he were running down a gentle slope. Only when he landed next to us did I notice he had 4, 5, 6, 8 legs, a pair in each place where a normal horse would have one, kind of like dual wheels on a pickup truck. I turned to Hearthstone.
Dude, when you summon a horse, you don't mess around.
Hearthstone grinned. Then his eyes rolled up in his head and he fell forward. I managed to catch him and ease him to the ground, while Blitzen and Sam moved warily around the stallion.
It can't be, Blitzen stammered.
One of Sleipnir's offspring? Sam wondered.
Gods, what a magnificent animal. The horse nuzzled her hand, clearly pleased with the compliment. I moved toward him, fascinated by his intelligent eyes and his regal stance. The stallion gave the word horsepower a new meaning. He radiated strength.
Is somebody going to introduce me? I asked.
Sam shook herself out of her reverie.
I don't know who he is. He looks like Sleipnir, Odin's steed, but this can't be him. Only Odin can summon him. I'm guessing this is one of Sleipnir's sons.
Well, he's amazing.
I extended my hand. The horse brushed his lips against my fingers.
He's friendly, and he's definitely big enough to carry us all across the chasm.
Would you be okay with that, buddy?
The horse nickered, like,
duh, that's why I'm here.
The 8 legs are... I was about to say weird, but changed my mind.
Awesome!
How did that happen?
Blitzen glanced at Sam.
Sleipnir was one of Loki's children. They tend to come out... interesting.
I smiled. So this horse is your nephew, Sam? She glared at me. Let's not go there.
How did your dad father a horse?
Blitzen coughed.
Actually, Loki was Sleipnir's mother.
What?
Let's definitely not go there, Sam warned.
I filed that away for later research.
Okay, Mr. Horse, since we don't know your name, I'm going to call you Stanley, because you look like a Stanley. That okay with you?
The horse seemed to shrug, which was good enough for me. We draped Hearthstone over Stanley's extra-long back like a sack of elfish potatoes. The rest of us climbed on. "We're going to that castle over there, Stanley," I told the stallion, "looking for a quiet entrance. That work for you?" The horse whinnied. I was pretty sure he was warning me to hold on. I wondered what exactly I should hold on to, since there were no reins and no saddle. Then, the stallion pawed the rocks with his front four hooves, leaped off the side of the cliff, and plummeted straight down. And we all died. Chapter 53. How to Kill Giants Politely. Just kidding this time. It only felt like we were going to die. The horse must have enjoyed the feeling of free fall. I didn't. I grabbed his neck and screamed in terror, which was not very stealthy. Meanwhile, Blitzen grabbed my waist, and behind him Sam somehow stayed on board while managing to keep Hearthstone from slipping into oblivion. The fall felt like hours, though it probably lasted only a second or two. During that time, I thought of several more colorful names for Stanley. Finally, he churned his eight legs like locomotive wheels. We leveled out and began to climb. Stanley punched through a cloud, zigzagged along the face of the mountain, and landed on a window ledge near the top of the fortress. I dismounted, my legs shaking, then helped the others with Hearthstone. The ledge was so wide, the four of us plus the horse could stand in one corner and seem no bigger than mice. The window had no glass, probably because there wasn't that much glass in the world, but Stanley had landed us behind a panel of gathered curtain so nobody inside could have seen us, even if they were randomly scanning the window for mice. "Thanks, buddy," I told Stanley. "That was horrifying. I mean, great." Stanley nickered. He gave me an affectionate nip, then disappeared in a burst of dust. On the windowsill where he'd been standing was the Awaz runestone. "He seemed to like me," I noted. Blitzen slid down next to Hearthstone and said, "Eep." Only Sam didn't seem ruffled. In fact, she seemed exhilarated. Her eyes sparkled, and she couldn't stop smiling. I guess she really did love flying, even if it was a near-death freefall on an eight-legged horse. "Of course Stanley liked you." She picked up the runestone. "Horses are one of Frey's sacred animals." "Huh." I thought about my experiences with the Boston Mounted Police that patrolled the public garden. The horses always seemed friendly, even if their riders weren't. One time, when a mounted officer had started to question me, his horse had suddenly taken off, galloping toward the nearest low-hanging tree branch. "I've always liked horses," I said. "Frey's temples kept their own herds," Sam told me. "No mortal was allowed to ride them without the god's permission." "Well, I wish Stanley had asked my permission before leaving," I said. "We have no exit strategy, and Hearthstone doesn't look like he's going to be casting more spells anytime soon." The elf had regained consciousness. Sort of. He leaned against Blitz, giggling silently and making random signs like butterfly, pop, yippee. Blitzen clutched his stomach and stared into space as if he were thinking of interesting ways to die. Sam and I crept to the edge of the curtain. We peeked around it and found we were at ceiling level of a stadium-sized room. In the hearth burned a fire as big as an urban riot. The only exit was a closed wooden door on the far wall. In the center of the room, seated at a stone table, two giantesses were having dinner, ripping into a carcass that reminded me of the roast beast in Valhalla's dining hall. The giantesses didn't look as tall as the dead one back in the river, though it was hard to be sure. In Jotunheim, proportions made no sense. My eyes felt like they were constantly adjusting to different funhouse mirrors. Sam nudged my arm. "Look." She pointed to a birdcage suspended from the ceiling, hanging just about eye level to us. Inside the cage, waddling around on a bed of straw and looking miserable, was a white swan.
"That's a Valkyrie," Sam said.
"How can you be sure?"
"I just am. Not only that, I'm pretty sure it's Gunilla."
I shuddered. What would she be doing here?
"Looking for us. Valkyries are excellent trackers. I imagine she got here before we did and..."
Sam mimed a hand snatching something out of the air.
"So, do we leave her?" "For the giants to eat? Of course not."
"She set you up. She got you kicked out of the Valkyries."
"She's still my captain," Sam said. She has her reasons for mistrusting me. A few centuries ago, there was a son of Loki who made it into Valhalla."
"He and Gunilla fell in love," I guessed. "I kind of got that impression when she was taking me on a tour of the hotel."
Sam nodded.
"The son of Loki betrayed her. Turned out he was a spy for my dad. Broke her heart. Well, you get the picture. Anyway, I'm not going to leave her to die."
I sighed. "Okay." I pulled off my pendant. Jack the sword hummed to life.
"About time," he said. "What did I miss yesterday?"
"Bunch of climbing," I told him. "Now we're looking at two more giantesses. How do you feel about flying up their nostrils?"
The sword tugged at my hand, his blade peeking around the corner of the curtain.
"Dude, we're on their windowsill. We've technically crossed the threshold of the giant's home."
"So?"
"So you have to follow the rules. Killing them in their home without provocation would be rude."
"Right," I said. "We wouldn't want to kill them rudely."
"Hey, senor, guest rights and host rights are important magic protocols. They keep situations from escalating."
Blitzen groaned in the corner.
"The sword has a point, kid. And no, that wasn't a joke. We should go in, claim guest rights, and barter for what we need. If the giants try to kill us, then we can attack."
Hearthstone hiccuped, grinned, and signed, "Washing machine." Sam shook her head.
"You two are in no condition to go anywhere. Blitz, stay here and watch Hearthstone. Magnus and I will go in, find Thor's hammer, and free Gunilla. If things go wrong, it'll be up to you two to figure out how to rescue us."
"But..."
Blitzen put his fist over his mouth and stifled an erp.
"Yeah. Okay. How are you guys going to get down there?"
Sam peered over the ledge.
"We'll use your magic rope to reach the floor. Then we'll walk up to the giants and introduce ourselves."
"I hate this plan," I said.
"Let's do it."
Chapter 54. Why you should not use a steak knife as a diving board. Rappelling down the wall was the easy part. When we reached the bottom, I started having serious doubts. The giantesses were definitely smaller than their dead sister, maybe 50 feet tall. If I'd been asked to wrestle one of their big toes, I could have won no problem. Other than that, I didn't like my chances.
"I feel like Jack up the beanstalk," I muttered.
Sam laughed under her breath.
"Where do you think that story comes from? It's a cultural memory, a watered-down account of what happens when humans blunder into Jotunheim."
"Super."
The sword buzzed in my hand.
"Besides, you can't be Jack. I'm Jack."
I couldn't argue with that logic.
We navigated across the stone floor, through a wasteland of dust bunnies, food scraps, and grease puddles. The fireplace was so hot, my clothes steamed. My hair crackled. The smell of the giant's body odor, a combination of wet clay and sour meat, was almost as deadly as a sword flying up my nose. We got within shouting distance of the dining table, but the two giantesses still hadn't noticed us. They both wore sandals, size 120 leather dresses, and Flintstone-style necklaces made from polished boulders. Their stringy black hair was woven into pigtails. Their gray faces were hideously painted with rouge and lipstick. I didn't have my fashion advisor Blitzen with me, but I guessed the giant sisters were dolled up for a girls' night out, even though it was barely lunchtime. "Ready?" Sam asked me. The answer was no, but I took a deep breath and yelled, "Hello!" The giantesses kept chatting, banging their cups, and chomping their meat. I tried again. "Yo!" The big ladies froze. They scanned the room. Finally, the one on the left spotted us. She burst out laughing, spraying bits of mead and meat.
"More humans! I don't believe it!"
The other giantess leaned over.
"Is that another Valkyrie? And..."
She sniffed the air.
"The boy is an Inherye! Perfect! I was just wondering what we'd have for dessert." "We claim guest rights!" I yelled.
The giantess on the left made a sour face.
"Now why did you have to go and do that?" "We want to barter."
I pointed to the birdcage. Now so far above us, I could only see its rusted base hovering like a moon.
"For that swan's freedom. And also, possibly, you know, if you have any stolen weapons lying around. Like, I don't know, a hammer or something."
"Smooth," Sam muttered. The giantesses looked at each other like they were trying not to giggle. They'd obviously been hitting the mead pretty hard.
"Very well," said the giantess on the left. "I am Gelp. This is my sister Grape. We agree to host you while we barter. What are your names?"
"I am Magnus, son of Natalie," I said. "And this is..."
"Samira, daughter of Aisha," said Sam.
"You are welcome in the house of our father, Gerard," said Gelp. "But I can barely hear you down there. Do you mind if I put you in a chair?"
Okay, I said. The other sister, Grape, snatched us up like toys. She set us on an empty chair, its seat the size of a living room. The tabletop was still a good 5 feet above my head.
"Oh, dear," Grape said. "That's still too low. May I raise your chair for you?"
Sam started to say,
"Magnus?"
I blurted out, "Sure." With a shriek of glee, Grape picked up our chair and thrust it over her head. If not for the backrest, Sam and I would have been smashed flat against the ceiling. As it was, we got knocked off our feet and showered in plaster. Grape put down the chair. It took a moment for my eyeballs to stop rattling. Then I saw the giantess's scowling faces looming over us.
"It didn't work,"
Grape said, with obvious disappointment.
"Of course it didn't work," Gyalp growled. "You never do that trick right. I told you it has to be something without a back, like a stool. And we should have installed the spikes in the ceiling."
"You were trying to kill us," I said. "That can't be in the rules for good hosts."
"Kill you?"
Gyalp looked offended.
"That's an absolutely baseless accusation. My sister only did as you requested. She asked your permission to raise the chair."
"You just said it was a trick."
"Did I?"
Gyalp blinked. Up close, her heavily mascaraed lashes looked like the obstacle course for a mud run.
"Pretty sure I didn't."
I looked at the Sword of Summer, which was still in my hand.
Jack, have they broken the host rules yet? Because trying to kill us seems kind